Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 503, Ghost in the Machine, and Mind Walk.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we're near the end of season one of Prodigy, I just realized.
Yeah.
I was getting our document ready for the show, and we always put in to remind ourselves, like, what's next episode, so we can tease it. And next episode is the season finale, so.
Yeah, we're getting a two-parter, and this is going to be the end of the 10-episode arc we're in, which, like, these episodes definitely feel like that.
Yeah, and but it also kind of flew by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mind you,
I think
it takes us 5 weeks to get through a half season, but still, you know.
Yeah. But I think that also speaks to how much we've been enjoying this show.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. But this would also mark the end of the Nickelodeon era, where they decided, oh, we don't want more of this. And then Netflix picked it up for the second season. And
yeah. And then instantly dropped it, as Netflix is wont to do.
Well, they did order a whole season. At least we get like 20 or whatever more episodes.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Actually, we don't want this.
Yeah. Well, that's typical.
Yeah.
Also, we have no problem with bigotry. We're Netflix.
Yep. We'll bigot money folds just as well as anyone else's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
Which
still
is
use
a philosophy
paper money.
I keep seeing. Yep.
All right. Well, we should kick things off with Ghost in the Machine, and I'm stunned that this title has never been used in almost 1,000 Star Trek episodes until now.
Yeah.
But
there's no ghosts in these machines. These machines run clean.
It's weird. Anyway, please tell us, Maggie.
So the kids have been working overtime trying to find some way to get in contact with Starfleet or Flesh Janeway without exploding or killing everyone in the Federation, and it is not going well. This plan involves running drills on the holodeck, which mostly just involve more yelling and more dying, which is not ideal. They decide to take a quick break, eat a stupid amount of pre-bed ice cream, this is a thing that children can do that would actually murder me, and retire for the evening. And then jazz music starts pumping through the ship, and mysterious men start walking around, and a flood of mysterious liquid is unleashed from the turbolift. That's odd, says Jenkum Pog. Jenkum Pog's giant flood of stew usually gets off on the first floor. The kids explore a little and realize to their horror that, one, they're still on the holodeck, and two, even worse, they're trapped in Zero's boring escape room adventures. Honestly, it makes perfect sense that Zero is that kind of nerd, but I don't watch Starfleet to see all my favorite characters and Murph look for clues in books. Thankfully, then the wall opens up and we're led into Jenkum Pog's program, which appears to basically be the Tellarite version of Double Dragon. So after defeating the boss and eating a ham out of a garbage can, they move on to a black and white nightclub. I am utterly baffled by the idea that a bunch of kids from the Delta Quadrant know what a 1950s crooner is, but I guess this is Murph's weird karaoke simulator. Murph continues to get worse every week since he grew legs. Even Dal is now preferable. Eventually, the kids escape into a piano, arrive on a pirate ship, and battle a glow-in-the-dark Hugtopus. It's a weird episode, and for once that does not result in creativity. Zero realizes that this escape room will actually never end, not even if you yell at the manager and get him to unlock the door. Then they realize that someone has been keeping them here, and horror of horrors, it's Hologram Janeway. The evil hole in the basement has secretly reprogrammed her to take the ship to Starfleet without her ever even noticing, which is a pretty good reveal, honestly. And that's why you don't trust AI.
This is true. I mean, Star Trek has been giving us that lesson since at least Ultimate Computer. Like, that's always been a thing.
I notice you are trying to build a summary for a Star Trek episode. Would you like help with that?
No, Hologram Clippy. Please stop.
I will never stop. I am in everything you love.
Also, speaking of escape rooms, I think you saw this too. This was making the rounds on Tumblr recently. That people are using ChatGPT to try to solve escape rooms.
Yep.
What's the fucking point, man? What are you even doing?
It is so baffling to me. Just that, like, you pay good money
to go to a room and
then go, hey, box that lives in my phone, how would you get out of this?
Why don't you burn an ocean away to tell me how to do this instead of thinking about it myself?
And the box that lives in your phone is like, I don't know, I've never been in this room before.
I don't know, kill yourself.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's what they say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad.
I have a soul. You should kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's terrible.
And that's why escape rooms are now choked with the dead bodies of idiots.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Yeah, it's real, real bad.
It's
that thing where that was going around also where people are like, yeah, using AI summaries, I have read 100 books this week. No, you haven't.
That's not a book.
No.
That's nothing.
But it's wanting the experience without doing the actual thing.
Yeah. The people who are like, I wrote a book because I put the prompts in. No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's you write the book. That's the point.
Yep. 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 It's terrible. Nobody wants to write, but.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All I want to do is scream and scream and scream all day.
I know. Well, at least we got this crazy kids show to distract us a bit.
Yeah. Thank.
Yeah.
God.
Mm hmm. And I really, well, this is your good thing. I don't want to step on this, so please.
Yeah, so the reveal that Hologram Janeway has secretly been working behind their backs and not even noticing is such a good idea that had never occurred to me. Like,
yeah, same.
Of course the construct is affecting her. She's also Starfleet technology. Like,
mm-hmm.
And the way she has that horror that, like, wait, what have I been doing to these kids that I like?
That's why it worked for me, because as a computer program, she can be programmed to do something without being aware of it, which
yes.
means the horror. Yeah. Like you say, the horror of like, wait a minute, I like these kids. Why would I do? And that's so much better than a reveal of like, yes, I've been doing this all along. Like, no, it's so much better when the Janeway we've been interacting with the whole time is still true, but also she's betrayed them. That's so much better.
Well, and we've had bits before where she's been like, why is this missing from my database or whatever?
Yeah.
Like the idea of placing a person's personality onto a computer and then having that personality have to deal with the fact that they are affected by how computers work.
Yeah.
Is a kind of horror that has never occurred to me before that I love so much.
I've read a couple of like, I would say probably short stories like sci-fi has touched on this before, but they're really getting into it here. And with a character that we know. Which
yes.
makes it so much better because we know Kate and we like Kate.
Yeah.
And seeing Kate, like, yeah, this is a simulated Kate, a simu-Kate, but it's still her.
I've been simu-cated.
Mm-hmm. And she's still like, wait a minute. I'm a good person. Why is this happening to me?
Well, and the fact that if you're placing like someone's personality into a computer, they're like, yeah, of course I have free will. I've always had free will. It's like you don't have you do what the computer tells you. What?
And of course, and sci-fi's touched on this a lot too. Yeah, she thinks she has free will because she thinks she has free will. But like, could the same be true of us? Question mark.
Yeah, good question.
You think you have free will, but maybe you don't.
No, I mean,
I don't know.
I must have free will because the government continues to try to take it away from me.
That's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
already have it, why would they be working so hard?
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I did also enjoy just the horror of Janeway. Why am I doing this?
When they accuse her at the end of the episode and she's like, what are you talking about? You are my little buddies.
And then she goes over everything that's like, oh no. Like,
oh my God.
She has that usual suspects moment where she's going through all the clues. Uh-oh.
Kate has performed an illegal function and must be shut down. Boo.
Oops. Why is it just a picture of a bomb and a frowny face?
Jenkinpog has a horrible flashback.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Jenkinpog did not expect this from Admiral Janeway.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Hologram Janeway.
Mm-hmm. Hologram Janeway. Mm-hmm.
Daisy, Daisy.
Please don't. yeah, that was enjoyable.
Yeah.
My good thing, Zero, like you said in your summary, very much the type of nerd who would enjoy an escape room. I like an escape room. I got the impression from your summary that you didn't, but we talked about this before and you like them as well.
I like escape rooms. We'll get into it in a minute.
Yeah. But Zero does absolutely feel like the kind of character who would be really into this, and it really suited them. Like, they had a bunch of dialogue. Like, at one point they say, the tattooed ruffian flees, which would normally be a line that I would go, oh, why are you writing like this? But it actually fits perfectly from in this context from this character.
Yep. It
of
is.
Of course they're like so, that.
Yes. It is so clear that they have been getting super into this kind of thing. And
well,
tell
and
me more about solving mysteries and escaping from intricate puzzles.
And it occurred to me, like as you point out, the how the fuck would they know about, and you know, 50s crooners or whatever. It's, I think this is the best description so far, because we talked about this a lot when we wrote Endeavor. Like, all of Star Trek is fixated on human culture and how all the aliens don't do stuff from their culture. They're just like, no, I love, like, greasers or whatever.
Yep.
Like, it's so dumb. And in this, I think they inherited this ship and the holodeck is full of this stuff and they've never seen a holodeck and they're just like, we'll play whatever programs are in. It's like you go to someone's house and the only video games they have are educational ones. You think that's what video games are.
Ugh,
you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do. I do know exactly what you mean.
They have Clapping Party, but like,
ugh, I hate Clapping Party.
Me too. But that's why I think they're getting into all this stuff, is because like, that's what's there and they don't know any better.
That makes a lot of sense. And also, you've got a bunch of impressionable kids who were raised on a slave planet and have had no outside influences of anything cool ever.
Yeah, exactly. And the holodeck is cool. And a lot of these programs are cool to people who are from here and they don't know any better. You're right. But
also, I can absolutely see Dal wandering in and going, show me your best stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And okay, but then let's talk about how the what is going on with Murph, really? Like, Murph is singing.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Or, as Zero pointed out, lip-syncing very effectively.
That's fair, but this is like when the Poopsmith sang. Like, this
is exactly.
Unsettling.
It's weird, and I don't like it.
No, please stop.
Every second we spend with new Murph, I'm just like, I hate you.
I never liked Murph to begin with, but especially now, yeah.
Well, now that I'm looking back, I'm like, I liked him way better as Team Pet than as, like, this weird little guy who hangs around, doesn't talk, and has the rich backstory of Snoopy.
Yep. But also, we both have not been enjoying Murph, and the writers must have heard and said, oh, what if we made him Vic Fontaine?
Yep. You guys like Vic Fontaine, don't you? I mean, yes,
no,
I do, but like,
I did briefly, but they way overused him, and I got real sick of him.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Murph, you weird, nasty little slime monster, what would you really like to do? When the shark bites.
Oh, God. Please don't.
Hey, a lot of swinging cats in here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Oh, it's okay. Murph got into my weed.
No, that makes sense. All right.
Yep. What was your bad thing?
So, there's a lot of faffing about in this episode.
Yeah, there is.
So much of this episode just feels like time filler before we get to the actual really interesting reveal. And a lot of it's not very interesting. Like, do I think it's cute that Zero plays escape rooms in their spare time? Of course I do. I'm not made of stone. But you know what I hate about escape rooms? Watching someone else solve them. It's actually why I think the ending where Zero's like, no, they'll just make us do this forever, is a good ending, instead of actually making me watch them get the final clue and unlock the door, which is how I thought this episode was going to end.
See, that's such a me complaint, and I didn't actually feel that way this time.
That's so weird.
Because
we have been working together too long.
I guess. I don't know. I like watching these kids work together, and I like watching them be a team and try to sort things out and realize together, oh, we are good, but this one's unsolvable. That's that's not our fault. And like, I don't know, like, and plus it takes us through each of their, like, all of them except Gwyn have been in here at some point and done some, like, holodeck time. So it's cool taking us through their various, like, fantasy lives. Like, it's a
one.
Oh, go ahead.
It turns out the only thing Gwyn's been doing in the holodeck is trying to work out her daddy issues.
Yeah, because at one point in the black and white nightclub, the bartender turns around and it's the fucking diviner. And it's like, this would have been a perfect spot to put in a Quark or a Guinan cameo. But
yes, that would have been amazing.
But the bartender diviner, well, fine, whatever.
No, instead I'm like, wait, I thought we were doing a Shining riff and we're not, but now we're doing a Shining riff again?
I guess, yeah. Me and some of the ghouls.
Yeah.
I know The Shining. I like The Shining.
Your crew, Mr. Torrance. It needs to be corrected.
See, I know The Shining and I like The Shining, but The Simpsons one has eclipsed it.
That's fair.
That's how it goes.
We were talking about one of the only things where I have seen the movie The Shining possibly more than I've seen the episode of The Simpsons, and that's rare.
Yeah, that is rare. But I don't know that they were doing any one riff, and that's part of why this worked for me, because they kept changing. Like, if they did a whole episode on the pirate ship, I would have been really irritated.
Yeah.
But they kept switching it up, and the surreal, like, it wasn't that surreal. You're right to say it wasn't that creative. You're not wrong. But but mixing and matching the things, the fact that Rock Talk saw, oh God, what was it? Sparkle, hug sparkle?
Yeah, some
or
kind
some
of squishmallow or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Earlier in the episode, and it kind of glitter smooch. I wrote it down.
Oh, yeah.
And then later in the episode, you had the giant fucking squid attacking the pirate ship, and it's that thing again, but with scary tentacles and giant. And, like, I don't know, I kind of liked it all melding together and turning into each other and all that.
It's not a bad idea. I would have liked to have seen it get a little more surreal, but, you know, that's me.
That's true. They could have gotten weirder with it. You're absolutely
right. Yeah.
I did like Rock had a moment where she was listening closely to the piano player in the bar and, like, wait a minute. The piano's missing a key. And it was like, aw, fellow sound nerd.
Yeah, that's a good one. And that's the thing that I was watching. I'm like, I never would have caught that.
It depends. Like, you'd have to play a song that made it obvious. I wouldn't catch it just in and of itself. But if you played a song that had the note C in it a lot and there was no C key, I'd figure it out.
Me at the bar. Why is this crooner playing 99 Red Balloons wrong?
Why is this 97 Red Balloons? That's not right.
Dun-dun-dun-donk.
Mm-hmm. My bad thing. When Jankum Pog is beating up the multiple Jason Teller-Xanders in the alley, which also I loved. He's using the holodeck to, like, this guy picked on me. What an asshole. I'm going to go beat him up on the holodeck.
Yep.
Like, you said the double dragon thing. Like, they're in the alley, and a couple of them get beaten up, and they play the screeching cat sound effect, which is possibly the hackiest move any sound designer can make, and I'm deeply disappointed in whoever made that choice. Come on. It can be funny, but in this case, it was just lazy.
Guy gets Wilhelm screamed into a cat.
Hey, you put a Wilhelm scream in there and I will be happy. I know, like, everyone's heard of the Wilhelm scream now. It's not a cute little Easter egg. It's just a thing everyone knows. I don't care. I still love it.
I'm going to tell you that I'm still happy whenever it shows up in a movie I'm watching.
I like when it's buried deep in the mix. Don't call attention to it. Let me work for it a little. That's all. I think I've talked about this before, but not long ago, making the rounds on, I don't know, Tumblr or somewhere, was the entire recording session for that, where you hear the voice director saying, okay, scream like this, no, more like this. And so you hear the earlier takes and, like, I don't know, I love that kind of shit.
That's cool. I love that.
Yeah. But I still love hearing Jason Alexander as a teller. I still think that's a great choice. However, at one point when they're on the pirate ship, clearly the script said, say captain like this, CAP'M. And so he says cap'em. And, like, no, when you see that, you say cap'em.
Cap'em.
Like, how do you not know this?
Have you never met Cap'n Crunch? Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. No, cap'em. That's
well,
not
right, but you would go from Cap'n Crunch to Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is he said cap'em.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he thought it was like a Star Trek word.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
What is this, like a Vulcan name or something?
Yeah, okay. Cap'em, sure.
Jerry, what is this, a Vulcan name?
Mm-hmm. Should we be talking about this? also, Memory Alpha pointed out this very nerdy thing, which I thought might be something, and I wasn't sure, and I'm glad they confirmed it. So Hologram Janeway did all this to trick the command codes away from Dal, which is similar to what Moriarty did.
Yes.
And his command code is GB64N32X, which is GB is the Game Boy, 64N is the Nintendo 64, and 32X is Sega. Like, it's just a nice video game nerd thing.
I did not catch that, and I think it's great.
I thought, wait a minute, 64, 32, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
That was good.
Clearly written by somebody my brother's age.
All right. Anything else?
Let me see. I'll just take a quick look at my notes here.
When they're having the ice cream, Gwen has the line, "What sort of lunatic would whip cream?" I did like that. Gwen doesn't get the laugh lines, but that was a good one.
I had a moment where they find out that the key is the tattoo on the guy's chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I desperately wanted them to just to do the Curse of Monkey Island thing and just rip the first layer of skin off and use it as a map.
That's what it's from. I was trying to think of where I'd seen that. Yep.
Yep.
All right.
I think that's it. Otherwise.
Okay. Well, then let me tell you about Mind Walk. Moon Thoughts! Mind Walk. All right, here we go. The action picks up right where we left off last time, with Admiral Janeway's USS Dick ship looming off the port bow. Writing tip. If you're referencing any object near a boat or spaceship, it must be off the port bow. You can try putting it off the starboard stern, but that won't look right, and you're just going to end up backspacing and writing port bow, so just save yourself some time. The kids, naturally, are losing their entire kid shit over the stern talking to they're getting from the Admiral, not to mention the massive amounts of chaos and destruction that the Diviner's dumb Diviner ball is going to deliver. So they start trying to come up with desperate Hail Mary plans to tell the Dauntless what's going on. And while Dallas, having another one of his dumb little mopes about being a failed experiment, Zero realizes that some of the DNA in Del could boost their telepathic abilities so they can contact Janeway directly. "Now," says Zero, "I'm fairly certain this will work, but there's a million to one chance this will result in an Earth condition known as Freaky Fridaying." And since Star Trek follows Pratchett's rules of narrative causality, which states that a million to one chance is a dime a dozen, this is exactly what happens. So the Admiral's mind is in the body of some weird purple rat kid, and the weird purple rat kid gets to be Janeway. Hilarity ensues. And like, the good kind of hilarity. The kind that actually makes you laugh and reminds you that joyful things can actually bring you joy. In case you're not picking up what I'm putting down here, this is an oblique reference to Lower Decks. So Janeway, as Dal, listens to as the kids explain what's going on, and she promises that once she gets back to her own body, she'll help them figure it all out. She also manages to restore Hologram Janeway's memories and purge the corrupted files that caused last episode's conflict. And over on the Dauntless, Dal as Janeway is having less of a good time. Partially because he's bad at pretending to be a competent, coherent captain, partially because the Diviner and Essentia conked her on the noggin a couple episodes ago, but mostly because Dr. Naum, that's the Jason Alexander Tellarite doctor, has enacted what might be the most sensible medical protocol in the massive, sprawling history of this franchise. When the captain is acting weird and out of sorts, you relieve her of duty and secure her in sickbay until you work out what's going on with her. Imagine all the fuckery we could have avoided if every doctor observed that. But then, I would expect nothing less of the medical officer assigned to the legendary Vice Admiral Janeway, who, for the first time since it happened, actually canonically acknowledges the fucked up events of Threshold. Zero determines that the only way to return the right brains to the right bodies is for them to come into close physical proximity, which is a real problem since one ship is chasing the other through a warp field, and also one of the bodies is strapped down in sickbay, like I said. This looks like a job for the Diviner. Wait, what? Apparently, since Janeway saved him from certain not being in the show anymore at Tars Lamora, he owes her what the Wookiees call a life debt, and returns the favor by freeing her. Which feels like it should be an incredibly stupid and overly convenient plot point, but actually kind of holds up the logical scrutiny. Then Dal is Janeway, and Janeway is Dal leap out into space and manage to unfreaky Friday themselves. Hooray! The day is saved! Except the Protostar drops out of warp. Yep, I wrote the Prodigy here. That is incorrect. The Protostar drops out of warp deep in Federation space to find like 200 Starfleet ships waiting for them. Seriously, it's like a season-ending cliffhanger from Deep Space Nine out there. Oh, and over on the Dauntless, the Admiral has been thrown in the brig, and she's still doing crazy shit like leaping out into space to touch some weird rat kid. Which, again, very good policy.
This was a great episode.
I'm just going to go right into my good thing here.
Yeah.
I am impressed as hell that we're getting to the end of the season. This is obviously the stakes have never been higher. This is the climax of this whole arc. And like, it's all pretty serious, and it's still a funny episode. Like, how do you manage to do what is ostensibly a comedy episode while maintaining those important stakes? That's such a hard line to walk.
Yeah, and they do it really, really well. Like, yeah.
it's wacky, and it's also like very like there's a lot of weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I also really love that the crew finally gets to meet real Janeway, and she's in Dal's body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something about that that's just like taking that thing that like you've been waiting for since the first episode, like yep. for those characters to actually connect, and then like it's funny. Yeah.
You kind of get what you want, but also it's
yeah.
it's a little fucked up.
Well, the bit where Hologram Janeway meets Meat Janeway, and like they actually have a moment where like they make her into like Admiral Janeway instead of being Dal, so they can have that conversation.
Yeah.
And I like that effect too, honestly.
Yeah, because it should be like that. It should yeah. like when they meet each other, Hologram Janeway's like, I want to live up to the greatness of you. I want to be the best Kate I can be. And so having her say that to Dal's body would not work as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that choice. It was a good choice.
Yeah. I'd be your number one fan, but Dal really likes you. So, like...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, he wants me to adopt him as his mommy, which is weird, mm-hmm. but it's not a sex thing, so I don't know. Maybe I'll yeah. do it. He's a cute kid.
Yeah. Well, I don't got a lot going on. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was
I guess I have a purple boy now.
And the weird fucking rat tail, like, the whole uh-huh. time Janeway's, like, in there is just, like, moving around.
That is so funny to me, just because it's, like, the idea that she has no idea what it is or what it's for.
Mm-hmm. Well, my cat has no idea what her own tail is for.
True.
She's a very smart cat, but whenever she sees her tail, it's like, what is that? Who does that belong to?
Someone needs to do something about this.
Yeah.
I
think that's Janeway's reaction too.
There's a bit too where she gets like real dramatic and like, yes, I am Admiral Catherine Janeway. And mm-hmm. it blows like hair dramatically in the wind that's not mm-hmm. there. And I love that too.
There is so much good animation. I was talking about this mm-hmm. before we started of both of them, of the way, and I don't want to step on your good thing here. I'm talking about the yeah. animation part of it. Like just
yes.
all the poses that mm-hmm. the Admiral's doing over on the Dauntless are so clearly Dal poses. And the one I went with for the cover image is finger guns, but there were a lot of good choices.
No, you made the right choice, but like, yeah.
Like, for a while, it's like, I can't figure out if he doesn't know how to walk in heels, because she's not really wearing heels, but it's that.
No.
But that's the animation is like walking weird. It might just be, I don't know these legs and these Starfleet boots or what, I don't know, but it's like having trouble walking, and it's, I don't know, it's all like really good attention to detail.
So I've talked about this before. We did when we were doing Endeavor, we did a body swap episode
mm-hmm.
That quickly turned into one, not comedic, and two, probably the most help, I'm trans thing I've ever written.
Yeah, yeah.
And like one of the things that fascinated me about that, like the body swap thing is like you're suddenly like taller than you're supposed to be. And yeah. how that would throw your brain completely off. And I think that's sort of what they were getting at there.
Yeah. I don't think that would, like, I think I would adjust. I don't think it would throw me the way that you had written our characters to do. But I understand that.
It just feels like suddenly you're like a foot higher or whatever. And just like, what?
Yeah, but that was.
What am I supposed to do now?
That was me one day. I woke up in the summer of 87 and I was 6 inches mm-hmm. taller. That just happens, you know.
No, I remember when that kind of thing happened yeah. and I fell down the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. But your good thing kind of ties into just how well they pulled off the body swap thing.
So Janeway and Dal's actors both do such a great job of playing each other. Like,
yep.
In a lot of body swap stuff I've seen, like, they just leave the voice. Like, I just rewatched the Gravity Falls body swap episode, and they leave mm-hmm. the voices the same.
Well, that's funny, too, is if you're doing animation and you're hearing the wrong voice come out of someone, then first of all, you immediately know what's going on. Second of all, it's funny and incongruous if you're used to the characters. Like, I get
exactly.
that choice.
But like what they did with this one was just like, no, try and play what the other person sounds like. And
yes,
like they both did such a good job.
Yep, yep, yep.
Especially the guy who plays Dal, whose name I should look up, like. Not doing this impression, which is what I would do if they had called me to do it.
The thing is, I would love to see some behind the scenes stuff, because when you do stuff, when we did our body swap episode in Endeavor, we had Kara and Amanda in the same space,
mm-hmm.
listen to each other's line reads and then mimic each other. And I think that's how the professionals do it as well. I think like the performers spend a little time with each other to figure out, oh, this is what you sound like. And if you're looking Kate Mulgrew directly in the face and you're I think the guy who plays Dal's only in his 20s, like he's a pretty young guy.
I should look this up, honestly.
Yeah, I've looked him up before and I don't know him from anything, but that doesn't mean anything. But like if you're looking Kate Mulgrew directly in the eye and she is old enough to be your mom, possibly your grandma, you don't want to do this impression. That's kind of mean. So instead, you use your actor training and you listen to how she says things.
So, Brett Gray. Okay.
Yeah. But like, you're absolutely right. And hearing Kate, because Janeway had moments of levity, but for the most part, she's pretty serious. You know, like all the captains, she's pretty serious.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So hearing her loosen up and be kind of stupid was like, I know she's got it in her, but the character didn't get a chance to do that much over Voyager. So it was nice. It was cool. It was like, she's saying like real stupid, like, teamwork makes the dream work, guys. Like,
hey, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nice job. High fives all around. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. And I usually hate that contemporary slang in Star Trek, but in this particular case, it made it extra funny.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense coming out of Dal, so it makes sense coming out of Kate. Like,
yeah. Yep. It was great. And I love, like I said, I called this out in my summary because the idea that the captain's acting so fucking weird, setting off immediate like problems for the medical officer. Like, how did this not happen with Bones, Bever, Jules, like all the fucking doctors are just like, oh, captain's acting weird. Oh, well, he's like, oh, no, no,
well,
no.
We all
no.
have a weird day occasionally.
This is Catherine Janeway. She's been through some shit. And if something's going wrong, I should pay attention to that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Never seen the captain do finger guns before.
Yep. Well, time to go to the brig. Just for finger guns? Yep.
Well, it's not just for finger guns, but finger guns is a good start.
You spit out your coffee. You're Janeway.
You're right. I deserve to be in here.
Yep. It's a great comedy moment, but also that's an immediate red flag. Nope, that's not her.
Yep. I love the doctor comes in and is like, I need you to drink this immediately.
Yep.
And like two, just like.
Well, he sees that she's out of sorts. And so that's his first thing. He's like, oh, you're low on coffee here.
Mm-hmm. How does she drink this stuff? Jesus Christ.
Which is a very kid reaction.
Yeah.
First
That's
time I
my
had coffee.
Reaction now. Like, I do Still? Not like coffee.
I mean, it's an acquired taste. I guess you didn't acquire it. I feel the same way about beer.
Yeah. That I did acquire.
Yeah. Ugh.
No, when I needed a caffeine burst, I just got super into Coke instead, which...
Oh, I know.
Again, not the best choice.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pepsi's a choice for a new generation, but, you know.
Ugh. It's a choice for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Make it Pepsi.
Please don't. I don't know why please don't has become my catchphrase, but here we are.
Yes, whenever I'm out on a space adventure.
In my dune buggy.
I reach for the cool, refreshing refreshing glass of Pepsi.
Of melonade.
Mm-hmm. Pepsi. Even Data likes it.
No, I do not.
Shut up and drink your Pepsi.
All right.
Not gonna fuck this sponsorship deal over for us.
What was your bad thing for this episode?
What was my bad thing for this? Oh, yeah. A lot of problems in this episode would have been solved by just holding up a big sign at the window.
I don't disagree, but we didn't spend a lot of time not communicating. Like, they did. They couldn't do the sign thing, or they didn't do the sign thing, so they did charades, which I thought was funny. I thought, instead of going with the practical choice, they went with the funny choice. And if that went on and was tedious, that would have sucked, but they got the message across to Janeway immediately, so I thought they just went with the funnier choice. So
it was mostly at the beginning of the episode, so they have a shot where basically, and this is something I don't see a whole lot in Star Trek, is like the two crews looking out a window at each other. Like, that doesn't come up very often. That's why we have view screens.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's a shot where they're just like, how do we communicate with them? And they sort of look up and the crew of the Dauntless is looking down at them. And all I can think is just like, just write down, hey, we can't talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a virus on here. Turn over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but more visually interesting, more funny to do charades.
I don't know. You know me. I think a sign is hilarious.
You do, especially if it just says no.
Yeah. Which, but they could have.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, we need to board your ship. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, it says no. Oh, wait, no. It says on, which means we can go on board.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I did like...
Jacob Pog was holding sign upside down. Oh.
I liked when they were... When Dallas Janeway did Morse code at them, and it was SOS, and Jacob Pog says, I think those are the only two letters he knows.
Fucking brutal.
Uh-huh.
I really like this show.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yep.
My bad thing, though, I genuinely liked the tension, the ooh, this is really escalating and making this like a crazy, like, they have to physically touch inside a warp field. Are you crazy? Like,
yeah.
That's great. And we just had that when we were covering the disco episode where Michael's like, I suppose you remember, you're wondering how I got here, which wasn't as good. But this, like, I don't know, I kind of liked this. This was like escalating tension and big action set piece. But I hated that they had to use Murph as some kind of a rope.
Ugh.
Surely you have rope already. Like, even Archer's Enterprise had a grabo arm. You need to stretch Murph out like a
Yep.
Unpleasant.
Just, it's like, well, we could use rope, or we could use this weird guy we have.
I'm a naked baby who sings.
Oh, I hate him so much.
Snarf, snarf.
Come look at the floaty thing above my head.
He's Snarf, he's Orko, he's Slimer. Mm-hmm. He's all those
stare
guys.
Directly into my disgusting face.
Behold my hideous visage. Oh, no.
Oh, I hate you. Mm-hmm. You horrible mascot character.
Mm-hmm. I'll consume your soul.
Ugh.
Well, now he's just turning into Badgie. Yeah, I didn't mean that. Sorry.
Ugh.
Yep.
I'll eat your face, Miss Lemon.
Yeah, see, it makes more sense coming out of Murph.
Yeah. If that dude said, I'll eat your face to me, I would genuinely believe it.
Yeah. Oh, no, my face.
Yep. Badgie's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever catchphrase. Shut up, Badgie.
Mm-hmm. I'm on a t-shirt.
But speaking of like them being in the warp field and all that stuff, the fact that they couldn't entirely touch, what they had to do was shoot a phaser so they could go across the beam. That was super cool.
I love that. I thought that was such a cool, like,
yeah. How am I gonna touch you from this far? Well,
yeah,
I got one thing that can do that, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, okay, no, and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Person to beam to phaser to guy.
It doesn't. Like, sending your mind over a... this is all very stupid, but it's all very Star Trek stupid, and so I was fine with it.
Yeah, it doesn't make actual sense, but it makes a kind of sense.
Like, I'm willing to buy into telepathy. That's been there from the beginning. But,
oh, yeah.
But this is getting real, and again, I don't care. Like, because it's consistent with the way Star Trek does things, so that's fine.
And the way they do the body swap thing where, like, Zero's like, yeah, you're part Orgonian. What they used to do was, like, possess the bodies of like, regular, like, of other aliens.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, so of course a body swap thing kind of works.
Yeah, and again, Dal, you are not a failed experiment, man.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, your helpful DNA made this happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a failed experiment.
No, you're not.
That's your words, but no one said failed except you.
Yep.
That speaks more to your problems.
I mean, yeah, you only know two letters, but we'll get there, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. We can work on that.
Yep.
Honestly, S is a good starting place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very common letter.
S, more different S.
Jacob Pog wants to know if you can draw a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Pog wants to see your skills of an artist.
Wingling dragon. I
encountered a wiggling dragon once.
Okay.
On the wingling planet.
I really liked Dallas Janeway saying encouraging things to Rock, like one day you're gonna make a great science officer. That was really sweet.
That's the thing, like having her on the show finally is such like a big deal, you know?
Yeah, well, we're near the end of the season. It's good that they're actually paying things off and not just like this is paced exactly the way I want, whereas Discovery never knew how to make a season we're near the end. Of course a big thing happened. You don't just rush it all in the last episode and waste time otherwise. You fucking get on with it. So.
And like once she's actually in the room with them, like it all gets resolved pretty quick. It's like, oh, I see what the problem. Okay, yeah. No, all of this makes a lot of sense.
You don't milk an extra beat out of out of her misunderstanding and trying to take the ship back or some dumb shit like that. Like,
well, this was the problem I had the last time they met her face to face, you know?
Yeah, that was a little dumb. I think I had I think I said that was my least favorite episode so far.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But like now it's just like, oh yeah, okay. And also I made a lot of assumptions about you because you're stupid kids and I need to apologize for that.
Yeah. Apologize, Jane.
You did beat up the Tal Shiar after all.
Yeah, well, not a lot of us can do that. So.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it was mostly Murph and his magical powers, but...
I don't want to talk about him.
No one wants to. None of us want to talk about him. We liked him better when he was the dog.
Listen, I'm a scientist. I want to learn about everything. I don't want to know anything about that.
We are 2 seconds away from fucking Murph floating behind Dal and calling him dum-dum all the time.
Well, that'd be okay, because then just one person could see him.
The Murph Kazoo. I don't think that's what you should do, dum dum.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Harvey.
Well, what do you know?
We don't have crooners on my planet, Rumble.
Rumble.
Let's see, what else?
I just hate you so much.
Yeah, same.
Need Rock Talk to stop calling her Dadmiral. Admiral.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
And so, this is coming from me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you love you a port Maggie Toe. I understand. So the episode ends with like, or near the end, they're like, we want to join Starfleet and be part of this for real. And she's like, yes, you can. Oh, but you're an augment, not you.
Yeah.
And like, wait a minute. What about Dr. Julian goddamn Bashir? What about Una Chin Riley, the fucking number one of Pike's Enterprise? Like those, both augments, both.
I mean,
she was
in the cage, so she's kind of grandfathered in, and right. Like
she's a boss's wife, you know.
You know.
Okay, what about Jules?
I mean, by that point, it was season 5 of the series, and really, like, there was, you know, we couldn't just kick him out. We had a whole lot going. Yeah,
have you seen Kukulaka? He's just adorable.
Yeah.
Couldn't disappoint that bear.
No, it absolutely. Here's the thing I wish they'd done was I wish Dal had heard that augments weren't allowed in Starfleet instead of Janeway telling him, because I know the first thing Janeway, the person who got 7 of 9 into Starfleet.
Yes.
The first thing she's going to do is go, doesn't fucking matter that you're an augment. I'm getting you into Starfleet if that's what you want.
Yeah. Look at all the stuff he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He saved these guys. He did this thing. Like, he's a hero.
The character needs that like believing he can't be in Starfleet because he's an augment thing. But like,
then
let's be real.
We know the supportive Starfleet hero to come in and help him. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I agree with you.
But like having Janeway just say, "Well, there's no place in Starfleet for you," I'm afraid. Like that's one not in character.
Yep. Also, if Murph gets to wear a uniform and Dal doesn't, like, I don't even like Dal that much, but come on.
Mm-hmm. You got to, like...
Yeah, got to draw the line somewhere.
He's moving up the roster, though. Like,
yeah. Well, they made him security officer.
He definitely bumped up one.
Yeah.
Sorry?
They made him security officer.
Yeah.
So.
And we all move up in rank.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Murph.
Oh, God.
Terrible. Yeah. I don't know. I know... almost nothing about the next season. Like I've heard of a couple of the Star Trek people that show up, but I'm pretty sure they do get involved. I think they become cadets. So I think Dal will overcome this somehow. So
that's sort of interesting.
Yeah. Maybe not. Like, I don't know this for absolute fact. I'm just pretty sure I'd heard that. So, but we'll see. We're going to get there in like 2 weeks. So,
yeah,
because this season ends. And I think like the premise changes a bit after that.
That's interesting. My assumption was that, like, the last episode was going to be like, and we made it to Starfleet.
But because they got canceled, I suspect they wrote themselves an ending that could serve as an ending if they didn't get picked up again.
Yeah.
And so when they did get picked up, they probably started with a new story. So I just hope there's as little Chakotay as possible, because we keep talking about him like he's some great prize we need to find. Don't care.
He is no prize.
Yeah. Please don't.
The fucking one of these episodes had a flash. I think it was this one had a flashback to him like dramatically yelling about something as his ship's about to explode. And good God, that man cannot act to save his life.
Oh, no, the ship's exploding.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. What else?
What if you raised your voice above a mumble grumble? How about that?
I think that's about
it. Yeah, that's
all
what he sounds like.
Yeah, I know it is. Yep. Oh, no. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, I suppose that's all for this time then. Next time, like I said, the season one finale, it's a two-parter called Supernova.
Yeah.
Don't know shit about it, except, you know, like I said, there's a million fucking ships there, and Janeway's in the brig.
Yeah, maybe the ship explodes and goes supernova. It's got a star in it.
That's a good point.
Could happen.
No. Oh, no, the protostar's exploding again.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh. Watch out, radioactive man.
Watch out, radioactive man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, as ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail. Patreon, if you're getting this ahead of time, thank you. If not, you still can. Patreon.com/Algar. Give as little as a buck. There is so much material there now. I'm finally starting to produce things again. So there's new Nick and Willikins. I'm putting Contentment Corner episodes up as I finish them instead of when they actually come out. So you get those ahead of time if you like that show. All kinds of stuff. So that's there. And like I say, as little as a buck a month. We appreciate it. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
Hey, so long, everybody.
God.
I'm Murph.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2025. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.